Let's pray together. Jesus, Lord, Father, Spirit, we give you praise today because you are worthy and we desire to know you more. So in your grace and in your goodness, come into this place. Cleanse our sinful hearts and may we direct our affection and our attention to you. Pray this in your name and God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thanks for being with us this morning, church family. We're grateful for you. Welcome one and all. My name's Nate Bebout. I've been serving here since the summer of 2015, the dark days. Though the brethren are the lowliest of the low church Protestants, this year we are feeling some inclination, some leading by the Spirit that we should be in attunement with the liturgical calendar, the seasons of the year. And so this is the first Sunday of Epiphany. So here's our little time map, and you can see that you are here. It explains why all the Christmas decorations are down. Does it feel a little empty after the Christmas decorations come down? Here and in your home, there's a sense of emptiness or blankness, but that in itself is a gift. There's a phrase in philosophy, tabula rasa. Say it, tabula rasa. It means blank slate, and it's a bit of a hallmark for the empiricist and also the Stoic epistemology. And the idea is that human beings are born blank. We don't have things imprinted on us, and that everything that we learn, we do through our senses and through our accumulation of knowledge. This is most notably defended by the Enlightenment philosopher John Locke, although it's been around since all of Western philosophy. And even though we kind of know for sure that this idea that human beings are born blank is basically false, right? There's all kinds of inherited ability and inclinations that we have. I do like the idea of starting anew, starting with a sense of blankness coming into 2023. Now, just last week, we talked about how we're not people like the world who just turn over the new calendar and forget everything from behind us. So I'm not suggesting that we go against the brilliant words that we just heard last Sunday. But there is a sense in which when we enter into a new year, there is a possibility for new discoveries. And this sermon series that we're starting is kind of connected to all of that. It's called Show Me Your Glory. And what we're going to be suggesting throughout this series is that we take all of our history and all of our knowledge and all of our experiences with the Lord and maybe to put them away for a second and invite the Lord to teach us who he is anew, to reveal his heart to us once more, that we might understand who he is. The theologian A.W. Tozer said that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I think that, myself included, many of us sometimes hold the wrong ideas about God. We think that God is something that God is not. And so we're going to be spending a lot of time on a passage over the next 10 weeks from the book of Exodus in which the Lord reveals who he is to his people. And so this is the passage, Exodus 34, verses 6 through 7. We're going to preach out of these two verses for 10 weeks. Praise the Lord. Here's the word of God for the people of God for today and the foreseeable future. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children of the sin of their parents to the third and the fourth generation. This is one of the most important passages in all of Scripture, and certainly one of the most important in the Hebrew Scriptures. This is basically the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. And by that, I mean it's the most familiar and the most quoted and the most alluded to passage in the Hebrew world. There are over 30 quotes or references to this, to these two verses in the Hebrew Scriptures. Time and time again, the writers of the Hebrew Bible returned to this self-disclosing statement of the Lord, of who he is. And some Hebrew traditions break down these two verses to contain 12 divine attributes. That they kind of look like this, that his name, Yahweh, repeated twice, the God who is. And then as he lists those attributes, we can focus in on that. He's merciful, he's gracious, he's slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And he preserves steadfast loves for thousands. He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, and yet does not clear the guilty. We're going to take these 12 attributes, smush it into a 10-week series. And I think it's incredibly important for us as we begin 2023 to kind of approach this idea of allowing God to reveal to us who God is. Rather than us imposing or assuming, because we've been good church folks for many years, that we know the character of God, why not allow his revelation to inform our understanding? Sound good? Even if it doesn't, here we are. In May of 2020, eccentric genius billionaire nincompoop Elon Musk had a son with Canadian lo-fi R&B synth-pop musician Grimes. And if that sentence made no sense to you, wait till you see what they named this child. Here is the name. That's the kid's name. Good? Pronounced, because I'm sure you're wondering, I was too, X-A-12. So we're just making up stuff at this point. If you're wondering, I know we have some people who are pregnant here at Park Street. Just like weird sounds, hieroglyphics, drawings that your toddler did. Whatever, just name your kid whatever at this point. Neo and Amanda Elkins had their fourth child earlier this week. For the first 20-ish, 24 hours of her life, she remained unnamed. I was suggesting things like xanthan gum to them. Just on the pretense that, like, whatever, you can just name your kid whatever. They instead went with the annoyingly delightful name of Macy Ann. But names contain a lot of information, right? My full name is Nathaniel, which means gift from God. Not that I have to tell you people that. my name is so nice, I can shorten it twice. I go by Nathan or Nate or Reverend or Pastor or Dad. There are a few other select names that I can't share in this forum that I will respond to. I'm a part of a local men's workout group, and we give each other like nicknames or code names. My name in that context is Moonshine. If your pastor's participation in this kind of group concern you, you can email the executive director of the Brethren Church, Stephen Cole, whose name in that group is Tailpipe. names convey something. They convey a little bit of who we are, an essence of who we are. Names in Scripture are vitally important. God is renaming people left and right after he gets his hands on them and develops them to who they are supposed to be. And so it would probably be wise for us to listen to God when he reveals his name, because he's communicating something that we would be wise not to forget. We're gonna back up so that we have a little more context rather than just kind of focusing on these two verses. So I'm gonna rewind to Exodus 33 And I'm going to start in verse 15, and then we'll read ahead until we get to our passage. Then Moses said to him, to God, "If your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and that your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people of the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." It continues in chapter 34 of the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up to Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me on there on top of the mountain. No one is to come to you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and the herds may graze in front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hand. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation." It had been many years since Moses was tending the flocks of his father Jethro when he heard the call of the Lord. And when he saw a bush that was burning, but not consumed. And in that interaction, the Lord stated his purpose for Moses' life to redeem and rescue the people that have been crying out to the Lord under slavery. And of course, Moses, feeling pretty daunted by that call and that task, asked the Lord, "What do I tell people when they ask for proof that I am your servant? Like, who should I say sent me?" And in Exodus 3, the Lord reveals for the first time his divine name. It's a name so sacred in the Hebrew tradition that they don't speak it and they don't write it out fully. But the name is Yahweh. And it is kind of hard to understand because it's just a verb. being. I am. I will be. It's got an interesting verb tense of being present and future. I am and I will be. And Moses says, "Okay, good enough." And with that name in his heart and his mind, the name of Yahweh, he goes back and amazing, amazing things happen, one after the other. He confronts Pharaoh. He calls down curses and plagues and natural disasters. He leads the Hebrew people away from a charging army through the middle of a sea. after the army that is chasing them is vanquished and defeated by the same sea, Moses calls his people to follow a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. The Lord provides water for them in the midst of an inhospitable desert. They have food in the form of manna and on some occasions way more quail than they want. Miracle after miracle after miracle, and God finally leads them to Mount Sinai to form a covenant with this people. This people that he has so extravagantly loved, so forcefully demonstrated his concern with, he calls them into a covenant relationship. And so Moses goes up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, while at the base of the mountain at the same time, the Israelites are gathering gold and making an idol. Moses comes down, really excited because he's just met with the Lord. He's received these instructions. He's excited about their future, and he is watching absolute rebellion happen. In his frustration, he breaks the original Ten Commandments. He goes on he loses his temper. I love the detail in Exodus that Moses burns down the idol that they've made, grinds up the gold into powder, and makes everybody drink some. And I think that's the like divine equivalent of like if your dad catches you smoking a cigarette and he makes you smoke a whole pack until you throw up. After a little more death and destruction, Moses says, I got to go back up the mountain now and see if I can smooth things over. And that's where we get to this passage that we just read this morning. Can you imagine how tired Moses must feel? Can you imagine how exasperated, how he has relied on the Lord? And he has tried to lead as faithfully as he can. He's not been without error. He's not entering the promised land. But on faith, he has stumbled forward and he's led the stiff-necked people to this moment. And he gets back to the top of the mountain. And in many ways, he has a blank slate. Two of them, actually. And he needs the Lord to tell him who he is again. I don't know if that's resonating with you like it is for me at the beginning of this year, but there are some times in life where despite all the faithfulness we have seen and experienced from the Lord, you get to a place of such disappointment and exhaustion that you need to come back to the Lord, clean everything off the table, and say, I need you actually to tell me who you are again. Because it's easy for me to forget. It's easy for me to get jaded and cynical, frustrated by my own sin and the poverty of everyone around me. I need you to tell me who you are again. So Moses says, show me your glory. Show me who you are. I know you. I have a relationship with you. I've been following you, but I need to hear and see who you are once more. There's an ancient tradition among a small group of Jewish mystics that connects God's name Yahweh with the sound of breathing. The idea of Yahweh or some equivalent. I will freely admit the historicity of that is a little bit dubious. There's not a ton of biblical or historical support for understanding the name of God as breath, but I like it all the same. Because there's something about this God that absolutely defies normal categories. There's something about this God that comes before and sustains all things. Before you have ever said any name, you've taken a breath. And if the Lord's name is, in fact, some version of breathing, then he is in fact the name that precedes every name. What can we see from Scripture connected to the Lord and breath? Well, quite a bit. Genesis 2:7 comes to mind. Then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. I've been trying out new recipes. Here, it's the new year. New recipes, new you, all that good stuff. Okay. And sometimes, you know, depending on who is providing the recipe, there's incredible detail, or sometimes authors and cooks provide very vague amounts, right? But the recipe for humans, if you are wondering, very generically, is one part dirt clod, one part divine breath, right? The breath of God is what turns us into living, thinking, spiritual, living beings. Job kind of riffs on this in chapter 34, verses 14 through 15. If it were God's intention and he withdrew his spirit and his breath, all humanity would perish together and mankind would return to the dust. In Acts 17, verse 25, Apostle Paul says, and he's not served by human hands as if he needs anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Psalm 144, verses 3 through 4. Lord, who are human beings that you care for them, mere mortals that you think of them? They're like a breath. Their days are like a fleeting shadow. And then again in Job chapter 12, verse 10. In God's hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. What do you need when you sometimes get very exasperated with life? What do you need when you're stressed out? What do you need when everything has kind of fallen apart and there's a giant mess and you know you have some work to do? Sometimes the thing you need is a breath. I can imagine Moses walking up Sinai and getting to the top and needing a breath. Why don't you take a breath this morning, a good big one. Whew. 2022, for all its good and all its bad and all its challenges, is now behind us. If you had hard days in 2022, you don't have to live those again. Good job. The Lord sustained you. If you are not sure what 2023 is about to bring, before we start looking too far ahead about what the future holds, let's make sure to take some time to look into the eyes of the one who holds us in his hand and provides every breath. No wonder the psalmist in Psalm 150 declares, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." I think sometimes we need reminded in the midst of challenges or in the midst of exciting opportunities, in the midst of things that are just changing all around us, that the Lord doesn't change. His heart for his people doesn't change. And we need to allow him to tell us who he is. And in order to understand any of that, we need to take a breath. The resurrected Christ comes to his disciples who are hiding for fear of the Romans. They are overwhelmed, unsure what's coming next, terrified. And Jesus comes to them, reveals his wounds, demonstrates that he has defeated sin and death. And in John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Names have power in the ancient world. People believed that if you knew the name of a deity or a demon or a power, that you somehow had control over them. No wonder then Yahweh's name is one that is kind of uncontainable. He will be. There's nothing you can do to capture that essence. Or just breath. Take a deep one and see how long you can hold it. Before too long, your limitation will show up and breath will leave and go and do what breath does. If God's name is Yahweh, if it somehow is connected to breathing, if we are in fact one part dirt clod and one part divine breath, then the name Yahweh has power in the sense that every name has power. It has the power to grab attention. I could make the most introverted person in the room very uncomfortable right now just by saying their name, right? Who is it going to be? No, I'm just kidding. I have no desire to torture anyone this morning other than myself and all of you in general. And so time and time again, we come to the Lord by saying his name to get his attention. And if it's true that God's name is somehow connected to breath, then you have his attention every time you're breathing. Maybe you're facing trials. Maybe you're overwhelmed. Maybe you're energized. Maybe you're excited about what this year has. Maybe you feel beat up. Maybe you feel stretched thin, barely hanging on. Regardless, us good Midwesterners would never tell you how we're feeling if you ask us. You could be having the worst day of your life and say, how's it going? Pretty good. What's the standard Midwestern things that we say to one another? Like, what is it?
Hanging in there.
Hanging in there. I had a bunch of examples, but they've all left my brain, so I'm now relying on you for support. Living the dream. There it is. Just peachy.
One day at a time.
One day at a time. You guys live here, don't you?
Can't complain.
Nobody listened to me if I did. Right? Here's a suggestion. Just add one more to your repertoire of things you can glibly respond when someone asks you how you're doing. I'm still breathing. And you know what? Because the Lord is in every breath, I'm still breathing might be one of the best prayers you can pray. I'm still breathing. The Lord is with me. Every time I breathe in and breathe out, I rely on his grace and his goodness. This morning we're going to take communion. And communion is the celebration of the Passover feast. Jesus gathered his friends together. And in many ways, they're celebrating how Yahweh, the name that Moses carried in his mouth and in his heart, sustained and rescued his people from slavery and from certain death. And Jesus gathers his disciples to remember the name of Yahweh and to remember that covenant. But Jesus says there's a new covenant and also a new name. Now, because of his death on the cross and his resurrection, we know God is uncontainable. We know he's the force of life that is beyond our comprehension. We know his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. But also, because of Jesus, we know his name, Jesus. So when Jesus gathered those disciples together, he took a loaf of bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them and said, this is my body which is given for you. Whenever you receive of it, do it in remembrance of me. And likewise, he took a cup of wine and he said, this is a covenant, a new covenant now in my blood. And whenever you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me. We're going to come forward if you're able and receive communion, the bread and cup communion by intinction this morning, which is simply taking the bread and dipping it in the juice and receiving it that way. We also have ones that you can take with you if you'd prefer to take it that way. There's a station in the balcony as well. Grateful for the deacons who helped serve by providing and preparing this meal for us to eat. I want to pray over it, and I want to pray over our year as we begin something new. So receive this prayer this morning. Jesus, we find ourselves once again at the beginning of something new. We find ourselves once again with an empty page in front of us. We find ourselves once again needing to be reminded of who you are and how you sustain us. So we pray over these elements, Lord, that we would receive them in a manner that is worthy of you. And Lord, we pray that as you generously give us this meal and welcome us to your table, we would recognize that we need you as desperately as we need the next breath. We need to know and to follow you, because when we simply follow ourselves, it always leads to demise. So we pray, Lord, in this space and in this time, that we might boldly come before you and receive from your table the gift of life, the gift of our next breath. God, we bless the church that is gathered in your name. We bless these people. And may this meal not only be in remembrance to honor your sacrifice to redeem a world steeped in sin, but may it also be something that can sustain us as we step into the new. Lord, we want to know your name. We want to see your glory. Come and bless us, we pray, and God's people said, amen. The communion table is open for all who profess faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The band will lead us in worship, and as you feel led, stand up, come forward, receive, and then walk back around to your seats. Let's worship the Lord together. Again, something that we're trying out for 2023 is ending services by listening to one another sing the doxology. So let's sing together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Bless you in the strong name of Jesus. that every single breath you take would be filled with joy and gratitude and mercy. May God be near. May He carry you through. And may He make all things new in you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people say, amen. Go in peace, church. We love you.